Hello and welcome again to the Wide World of Wargaming Age of Sigmar podcast. As always, I am your host, Alex, and with me are my fellow hosts, Garrett, Matthew, John, and Jeremy. Tonight we do have Matthew, and it's been a while since he's been on, but he's always happy to have him here today. Matthew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I've been super, super busy with just a whole bunch of stuff, Warhammer stuff, life stuff, pretty much everything. But it's nice to kind of slow down a little bit and talk about nerd things.
Right on, right on. And, what's on your workbench?
Yeah, so right now I am actually working on some of my own models for once, which is wild. I'm painting some Free People's stuff for a mixed order list. It's the list that I'll be taking to a couple GTs here coming up, including Nova. But I think we're going to cover that kind of in depth at the end of the episode, possibly. So I'll leave the specifics until then. Garrett, what are you working on, man?
Well, I am desperately trying to finish up my Death Army before the tournament this week in the Basement Wargamers Summer Slaughter. So I have to finish 15 more Graveguard, 20 more Crypt Ghouls, 3 Crypt Flayers, 3 Crypt Horrors, and an Abhorrent Arc Regent and the Geminids, all before Friday. So I'm desperately working through those. What about you, John?
Hey, Garrett. How you doing, man? So I myself am enjoying a nice Knob Creek single barrel Kentucky bourbon, little something to enjoy on the bench. And I've had a really busy week. I ran a 40K tournament on Saturday. I got 2 games in my Escalation League, 1,500 points, and who I played against, Skylin, local player with his Flesh Eater Quartz, Gristle Gore, Aberrant Ghoul King, the whole nine yards. And then I got my 1,750 in against Ruckman, another local player playing his Ideneth Deepkin. And I decided to switch it up. You know, I've been running Heavy Clan Pestilence for a while now, and I took a pure Scryer list. 3 rattling gun teams, 3 lightning cannons, 3 units of storm fiends, some engineers. It was nasty and gnarly. And then we played relocation orb, and the orb bounced away from my army every turn. So I'm no longer undefeated in the league. Beyond that, I've started work on some new Gnawholes. My last Gnawholes were kind of a failure. So the new ones have a UV lighting effect that's going to drive some glow pigment. And I'm also trying some UV reactive resin for the water effect. So we'll see how that all turns out over the next couple weeks. So with all of that going on, my gosh, Jeremy, what have you been up to this week, my friend?
Oh, I've been dealing with the fact that I'm going to get to drive over this weekend and play Matthew like twice, because I'm going to play him on Friday for funs and giggles, make him second guess his army, and then play him again on probably round 3 of day 1 and probably lose then. So I'll be good. Everything will be balanced. I myself am enjoying a nice Glenlivet 12, or so for anybody who wants to know the year, the vintage. But anyway, that's all for me. I'm looking forward to Forge this weekend. T-Shift right after, OFCC soon after, and then London GT 40 days later. Anyway. Well, I won't be at Nova, sadly.
Shoot, I forgot. Yeah.
Now, is London GT the same time as Nova?
No, it's actually 2 weeks apart. Okay. But I unfortunately had some life stuff that basically prevented me from going to Nova, even though I was really looking forward to it.
That seems like a fine trade-off, though. London GT instead of Nova.
I mean, I could have done both, but that not happened, basically. So,
it's a rough life.
Oh no! Super hashtag warmer privilege. Anyway. All right, back to you, my favorite host.
Oh, thank you.
It's actually back to Alex here, not me. But.
Yeah, actually, it is going to be back to Matthew. You know, before we go into that, I myself just have some homemade iced tea today. Just going to keep it a little chill. Got some stuff I got to work on. So
straight edging.
Straight edging for the week, straight edging for, you know, for the preparing for the weekend. All right, seeing I myself, I'm also going to be with Jeremy and Matthew and others in Spokane for the Forge GT. So, you know, maybe I'll have to get paired up with Jeremy round one again and then start, you know, trying to submarine up from the top. Maybe I'll just stay at the bottom of the kiddie pool. Who knows?
Don't you have his number yet?
Death is just never going to have a Fire Slayer's number, man. I don't want to get into that right now. I am still painting a bunch of Revenants right now so that I don't have to borrow a bunch from Jeremy. The last two or three weeks, I was frantically converting and building a bunch of Chaos Knight stuff. And then I realized I have two back-to-back GTs. So I was like, what am I doing? I got to get to painting pronto. Yeah, that's just what's on my personal workbench. And as Matthew mentioned a little earlier, we do want to take a look not only at his army and how the army he's been building up for Forge, but also his thoughts and his maybe expectations about some things that are going to be coming around, especially after the announcements that happened this last Saturday at Warhammer World's Age of Sigmar Day. Now, Matthew, you said that you've been working on quite a bit here with this Order army. Tell us a little bit about maybe the hobby aspect and some of the models as well.
Yeah. So I've been playing Deepkin for, I don't know, a year and a half straight. Whenever they released, I think probably a year and a half ago-ish or close enough to then. I've been only running that half because I really like the army, half because I painted it all really quick. And I'm terrible about painting my own models, so I just didn't really have another army painted. So I actually put this army together kind of with Jeremy's help, actually, kind of bouncing ideas back and forth. Maybe, I don't know, what do you think, 4 or 5 months ago probably now, Jeremy?
Yeah.
It was a while ago. And then I've just kind of slowly been getting some of the models together since then. I finally picked up the last few that I needed about a month ago. It's a mixed order shooting army. The bulk of it is two units of 30 crossbowmen, a unit of 30 Arcanaut companies, a Free Guild general, an Aether chemist, an anointed on foot, and then 10 Phoenix Guard, 10 Eternal Guard, and 9 Morsark Guard. The core of the army is that 90 shooting models that have characters to buff them. They hit really reliably. They wound really reliably. It's a gross amount of shots. The crossbowmen have access to Overwatch if they're charged. For the pure AOS players, it just means if you charge them, they get to shoot you in the face. And then the two units of Phoenix Guard and Eternal Guard are kind of serve the same purpose, to be honest. They're both just really defensive kind of mid-size model count units for holding objectives. The only difference being the Phoenix Guard get their bonuses no matter what. The Eternal Guard only get their defensive bonuses if they don't move. So basically the Eternal Guard will stand on a home objective. The Phoenix Guard will go get one. And then the 9 Morsar Guard do what Morsar Guard do. And that is kill things.
It's great that you've basically built this army, painted it for the Forge. You get to do this before the Free Cities book come out and say you're a hipster before Free Cities came out. and then now you'll have a brand new battle tome to make your list just better, like 2 months down the road. It'll be great.
Dude, I am so excited for that battle. I have a hard time imagining that battle tome is not going to be just ridiculously good, strictly because of the amount of War Scrolls that are going to be in it.
It really will come down to allegiance mechanics more than anything.
I mean, there's 7 allegiance abilities in it.
Oh, yeah. You know,
go ahead.
No, go on.
I was going to say, I mean, the amount of units that are stacked up in that from however many 8 different factions, some of them are smaller sub-factions, but 3 of them are like full armies in their own right. So I might be wrong, but I'm anticipating this will be the biggest army book released to date.
Mm-hmm.
In physical size, bigger than even the Stormcast line, I believe.
I would expect. I'm also expecting that they're going to allow us to free mix between all the sub factions, much the way we can with the Skaven clans, to where basically you might get some extra troop unlocks if you go with a mono sub faction. But other than that, if you have a character from five different sub factions, all of a sudden you're pulling in five different super abilities as well. So this could be really powerful if they follow the existing pattern.
Definitely. I'm anticipating that it'll be pretty solid, like I said, strictly because of just the size of the book with that many options. There's got to be something in it that's good. There's got to be some secret sauce hidden in there.
And that does lead us to, of course, the big topic at hand. You know, this last Saturday, they did have the Warhammer Underworld, the Warhammer Day, event. And they did talk about quite a bit, which did include this Free People's Battle Tome. Now, I was actually having a discussion a little earlier in another chat about this. You know, you guys were talking about Matthew, you mentioned how there is going to be seven allegiance abilities here. And they reference even on articles just this weekend and even today, I believe, the fact that like there's going to be different, they're basically different cities. They mentioned something like, you know, I'm not huge on fluff, but I'm trying to learn it. They mentioned things like the Living City and a few other ones that have been mentioned down the road, some that have had rules before, like the Tempestus Eye one, or the one with the Tempestus Stormcast in them. But, in one of the images, you see a bunch of Empire, and then you see a Wanderer unit, Sisters of the Thorn, and then you see some, you do see some Sylvanas. So what I was thinking, or what I was hoping, is that they really get them to be kind of niche and like, you know, say maybe the Living City people, you know, they can ally Sylvaneth, but maybe the other ones can't. Maybe the other ones can ally in Caradon Overlords a lot easier, and so on and so forth.
They actually specified that that's going to be a thing already. So they listed two of the cities. One will have full access to the entire Caradon Overlords range. Another one has full access to the Stormcast range.
Oh my gosh. And not just allies, but a full range to mix into the list.
Oh, wow.
And you keep the new allegiance abilities. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That sounds super powerful. Yeah, good thing I have some stuff in those directions.
I would imagine that these are going to be basically the rewrites of the Firestorm attempt at the city rules. So all of those, they actually had city rules in the Firestorm campaign book where each of the cities had a list of what factions, and you got access to the entire factions. Like there was one that was like you get Dispossessed, Caradon Overlords, and like Stormcast. Tempest Eye was like Phoenix Temple, the mages, the elf mages, and Stormcast and Free People. And so the Living City was the one that had like Wanderers, Free People, Sylvaneth. And each of those had all of the factions available to them. And you get like the entire faction lines in them. And that thing has an allegiance ability, which makes me think that maybe you won't be able to mix the cities because they're probably going to try to basically re-release an attempt at what they tried to do in Firestorm. That's what I think this is an attempt to, which I think it'll be really cool because they'll get, everyone wanted to use the Firestorm rules, but they kind of nobody did in tournaments. And I feel like that was maybe a half release that didn't go over very well. And so I'm actually really excited to see this is basically the new mixed order book.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically what they did was they took all of the remaining like small order sub factions that don't have their own army book yet and just scooped them all into one.
Yeah.
I was going to add for competitive play, I'd imagine there'll be maybe one to two army builds based on that book. That's going to be like, you know, financially the top tier for that book. But I don't think it's going to, I have a hard time to believe like there's going to be more than that out of that book, which is fine. Like, I don't think that's a problem. I'm just, it's good for balance mechanic when Games Workshop launches like these kind of like bigger tomes, and mostly because they can hopefully, you know, as they use the playtesters, they're balanced within like a whole range of mechanics in one tome. And it just makes it easier to address for facts because you're facking one tome instead of basically have this constant kind of like weird, like huge jump in power creep. But the reason I'm talking about this is because I want to lead into like the other tome that's coming out that's similar, that's not Free Cities, which is the new Destruction Orc War Clan tomes, which I, you know, and As an Iron Jaws player, is because that was my first army for AOS. I will say up front that I do not like that the idea of that book at all. I've been waiting for years for an Iron Jaw book that was actually going to make Iron Jaws good with like new kits. And the fact that it doesn't look like there's going to be any new kits for that book makes for either Bone Splitters, Iron Jaws, or, you know, a combination of both. Like, they could at least have like a special character for like the, like Unite, you know, specifically designed for just both armies play together. Not coming out. So I like the idea of the bigger battle tomes for balance and mechanic, but at the same time, I'll be honest, I just kind of felt like Games Workshop kind of like got lazy with Destruction on that one. That's my two cents.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably sick of the endless wave of people commenting on their shit every time they release a new book. There's 15 comments that are like, where's the blah, blah, blah book for my faction that has 7 models?
I mean, they're still
so they're like, you know what? We'll just release all of them at once.
They'll just be like, where's my Dispossessed book? Come on, I was promised a Dispossessed book. Where's my Dispossessed book?
Dispossessed books in the Free Cities.
Yeah.
That's Free Cities. Yep. That's trash.
Yeah. See, it's just going to shift the whiners.
Yeah, that's all it's going to do. More people, whiners will whine. It's fine.
There's no pleasing anybody.
It's fine. Exclamation point.
I don't want to take away from people's excitement about, like, to be honest, the having Bone Splitters and Iron Jaws in one allegiance, it is probably a good way to fix Iron Jaws and some gaps here and there. I was really hoping for like new hard boys, like new resculpt hard boys. That's all I want, Games Workshop. Give me resculpts of hard boys. Those models are atrocious.
I mean, they're a new sculpt anyways. Like, they're newer than many of the Fire Slayer's sculpts. They're not going to give you a new sculpt.
Those have been around since like 7th Ed Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. The Black Orcs came out in like 2009 or something.
No, they're older than that. They're really
they're pre end times release.
Yeah, no, they're even older than that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
they're pretty old. They're the last vestige of orcs that have like the weird like hunchback butt stick out like pose for fantasy, because even the Bone Splitters don't even have that.
Are these just the old black orcs? Oh, yeah. I thought these were actually new sculpts. I didn't realize that these literally were
like
the old black orcs.
The Shadespire models that came out like do not have that stupid hard boys look, and they're like hard boys. They're like, and then I was just like, I'm hoping for a resculpt, Games Workshop. Why you give me a book from the resculpt? Mad.
I don't know. That seems to be pretty common nowadays, though. They're kind of gathering up a few loose factions and such, and not really providing new sculpts. I mean, or maybe just one or two. I mean, oddly enough, they're coming out with this new Ogre Tyrant, which of course is Destruction, but he's not going to fall into the Orc War Clans. You know, I found it interesting that you're more worried about their not being new models for this. As myself, I'm a little surprised that they've gathered these guys together, but since they did, I'm not surprised that there's new models. Again, I just think they're gathering things up. My big concern is we have two factions that are, you know, not really performing great. We can be honest about that. But sticking them together, I think that there's some potential for some pretty nasty stuff. You know, zipping all the way across the table, getting in your face, lots of good shooting. I'll be real interested to see what kind of cities or clans or whatever they use to buff these guys up. Do you guys have any thoughts of, like, from historical, as it were, what we might expect as different clans or tribes from these guys?
Well, the Iron Jaw ones probably won't be very different than the General Handbook Allegiance mechanics. Like, there'll be two war clans. There'll be the Gold, the Bloodtooth, and the Iron Sons. I'm curious to see what their Bone Splitters are. I'm guessing they're just going to be like kind of like watered down versions of their big warband battalions. But like really where it's going to get inventive is let's see what happens with the merging of both of them. Right. Cause you can probably get some wacky battalion that does like all cav since they kind of nerfed like Gorfis is like non-existent now in terms of like an army list. There might be a cool like mixture of orc, like Gore Gruntas from Iron Jaws and the Savage Boar Boys from Bone Splitters. I'll be probably a bit of that. I mean, it's I don't think the clan rules are going to be as interesting as I think the Grand Wall like is going to be the cake that takes it, you know, and that's probably going to be the one army that's going to be located. It's because it's going to give you the ability to take units from both factions, which is one of the downsides of Iron Jaws, is like the battle line troops outside of Gore Grunters and like Hard Boys were the only two. Like, I mean, to be honest, Iron Jaws don't have many units, period. So just having more unit available options for that faction is good. Having range units like shooters is going to be good. I don't know. Like, I just wanted a Hard Boys update, guys.
2008, Jeremy. The kit was released in 2008.
2008. Dude, it's 11 years ago.
I know.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's a lot of really nice third-party orc lines out there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to be fair, I think it is kind of important to look at, like, the new books from the viewpoint of, like, you're getting something new. Like, would you prefer nothing?
Wow. That's so harsh.
Like, would you prefer no book over a combined book? I'll be honest,
not this generation of General Hit book, but the last generation of General Hit book, Fire and Jaws, yeah, I would have preferred nothing.
And I don't mean like you specifically, Jeremy, just in general.
No,
like,
he's pointing out Jeremy specifically.
I thought so. Yeah. He was going daddy mode on us for a moment there. It's like, you're going to eat your peas or you get nothing.
But it's, yeah.
You get nothing.
I've seen that a lot, like that sentiment a lot lately with like the new books. That's like, well, what about this? What about this? Like, it's like, well, you got something still. Like, there is a release still. Like, just because it's not exactly what you wanted, you know, it's like at least you got a release.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's the same with like the Skaven. You know, we were expecting something good and new models, and we got, you know, a passable battle tome that I guess will hold us over. Yeah.
Oh, you know, just one that performs well all the time against everyone. You know, no big deal. Just the Skaven book.
I just want to point out that, like, I feel like I'm the only one here who's interested in making sure Games Workshop has a nice, you know, margin, you know, money in their pocket here. It seems like all you guys are just fine of a book. I'm just making sure Games Workshop pays the bills at the end of the day here.
They pay the bills. They don't need to make molds of books.
Yeah, I bet they have a high profit margin on those books, especially when I buy the e-copy, the app copy, and the hard copy of every single one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I'm really excited about these particular battle tomes, both the, you know, the Iron Jaw or the Orc clans and the Ma Tribe books, you know, because they are very much kind of like two separate destruction versions of a Legion and a Nagash book. You know, they're going to have allegiance abilities, I'm sure, strictly for, say, more Iron Jaw focus or more Beast Claw Raider focus, you know, type of allegiances. Yeah, what's that?
Is Ma Tribe a thing yet?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
They showed the miniature on Saturday and they said, by the way, like, there's going to be a Ma Tribe book that's coming out.
Okay.
They even have did you not see the video? Like the Bone Feast video? There was
No. I did. I just didn't, the word he was using, I didn't know if that was
that's the
release already. Oh.
Thank you for trying to cover our bases here.
Insider info.
That's like he's like frantically like elbowing me. it was announced. And so with that, you know, the rumor mill, so to speak, has said that Beast Claw Raiders are going to be in, say, the Ogre book. So that doesn't completely, just like this new Orc Tribe book, that's not going to completely invalidate Iron Jaws. I don't think that'll completely invalidate Beast Claw Raiders either. I mean, Beast Claw Raiders isn't exactly a great battle tome, but, you know, you'll have the ability, kind of like how Night Haunt works with Legions, you know, you'll be able to run, you know, say, your Iron Jaws in your Orc clan armies. Or if you want, you can just use the Iron Jaws specific allegiance ability. So, you know, I'm glad that they're having more than, you know, that they're really kind of expanding with these type of battle tomes, because it does save them money at the end of the day, you know, rather than having to individually create a whole new Iron Jaws and then a whole new, you know, Bone Splitters and then Black Orcs battle tome or what have you, you know, being able to just simplify these. And this goes, hand in hand with, say, the Cities of Sigmar book. You know, it just makes things easier for them. and it's throwing those players a bone that have been waiting. You know, those diehard bone splitter players, yeah. You know?
I want to say I really appreciate the fact that Games Workshop is going back to the Mongol aesthetic for the Maw Tribes. The new model is back to the whole Mongol like look and feel. That's awesome. Yes. The video that you watch makes it obvious that there will be a kit coming out soon between the new Maw Tribe versus Tomb Kings or whatever they're going to be called. Because apparently Games Workshop decided Tomb Kings need to be in the game.
Now, are you interpreting that video as Tomb Kings? I was kind of wondering about that. You're talking about the one with the what is the tithe of bones on it and all that.
A great post recently on the Age of Sigmar fan group that basically posted up the artwork of the Forbidden Power like release that was just came out, where it was basically Lady O finding the Celestine in the Prime, and you can see a spirit in the background that's getting released from the vault, the Storm Vault. And it's clearly based on like the images, the icons you can see is like very like similar to the old Cetra, basically sculpt. And now with the new release, basically hinting that this is obviously the character that escaped from the Storm Vault, because he literally says in the video, basically waiting for, you know, mustering an army for Nagash under Nagash's supervision for many years. And then the Maw Tribes video is basically saying that something along the lines, the Ogre Treaty with Nagash, you know, they look like they're Shaiish-based Maw Tribe, basically fell apart. So now they're going to have a feast on bones. So, like, it's obviously going to be one of those dual faction kits that's going to come out between, like, kind of like Skaven and the Skaven and Flesh Eater Court and the Sylvaneth and... Gobos, the Gloomspite kits. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a Maw Tribe versus Tomb Kings.
Which is going to suck for my wallet, because as much as I wanted to be able to utilize, I was really, really hoping, I was really crossing my fingers that maybe the dude inside the Storm Vault was Vlad, because I would love to have a Soulblight Battletome. But
Nika?
Yeah, Vlad Nika. Yes, our good friend Vlad Nika. I thought it was going to be Codex Vlad, Battletome Vlad Nika. But you know, it's unfortunate that you know, every time we get a little bit of info or a little nugget of truth, we find you know, I drift farther and farther away from being able to hope or have that dream of having a Soulblight Battletome. It seems like it is going to be Tomb Kings. It seems like they're going to do something. You know, with most of these battle tomes that get new model releases, I'm sure it's not going to be strictly Egyptian themed. There's going to be a lot of differences there. What I did find interesting with the Tithe of Bones, video was A, whoever who was speaking, you know, which may be Cetra in this instance, was talking about how, you know, calling Sigmar the Soul Thief, and they were talking about how they were starting a whole new thing, you know, with building an army for Nagash. And I thought that was funny because Cetra's not a big fan of Nagash in Warhammer Fantasy. But in addition to that, for all those people who, you know, say watch Star Wars stuff, that voice actor is the guy who plays Hodar. The pirate Hodo from Clone Wars and Rebels. That's just my observation. John, looks like you had some insights as to your expectations here.
Oh, yeah. I was just kind of theorizing. You know, it's a funny thing. You know, Tomb Kings was an incredibly popular line a few years ago. A lot of beautiful sculpts, a lot of really nice models. Of course, Nagash, very critical in the end times as far as that story goes and all of those things. But the honest truth is the Tomb Kings models are a little dated. There was a lot of metal in those lines. I think there was a few new releases as part of End Times. But I know whenever I see somebody playing their old Tomb Kings army, there is a whole lot of metal sculpts in there. So with a video and all this, I was just wondering, what do you think? Are we gearing up for a whole bunch of new model releases? Are we going to see a whole new beautiful Tomb Kings line. I mean, with the way that GW is hitting on all cylinders as far as their design shop goes, I would love to see what they do with kind of an Egyptian desert mythos kind of a theme. Maybe they could pull in a little more than Egyptian, get a little bit of a Babylonian, Assyrian, that kind of whole ancient desert world theme going on there, and mix it together. The possibilities are amazing. On the flip side, if we just get a battle tome that ties up everybody's old collection and, hey, you get to buy expensive metal models, then I'm not going to bother. But with new sculpts, this might be something that sucks me down a rabbit hole again. So I don't know. What do you think about that, Jeremy? I don't think
they'll be
called
Tomb Kings for sure. They're probably going to call some kind of like Legion of Revenge or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be a Legion.
It's
going to
be a Legion. Come on.
Yeah, Cetra's.
It's not going to be called Tomb Kings. There you go. In fact, I'd be.
It's not
going to
be called Tomb Kings.
Not a similar like. Battle Tome layout as the Free Cities of Sigmar. It's probably going to be very similar to that, because it sounds like, based on the video, that he's recruiting like people from across like different like realms of or different like spaces of Shaiish. Either way, it's going to be deaf. It's going to be brand new kits. It's going to be a completely new army in terms of models. So I definitely think that.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting. Now, Garrett, what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, I was actually talking to a friend of mine at a store today, and he was telling me that actually a large portion of the Tomb King line was fairly new, with new plastic molds. They were like right in the Aethid release window, most like the Tomb Guard, and I don't remember all of the ones, and it was just kind of like the chariots and the skeleton archers. Those were mainly the old sculpts. So we were kind of talking about it, and possibly a just reboxing of a lot of the old Tomb King kits, and then remove. I don't think they're going to be called Tomb Kings either. And then adding in maybe a couple of new flares, I think would be really cool. So basically a whole new model line that uses a lot of the old molds the new Tomb King molds. So they have all those new plastics plus a bunch of new stuff to update. And like with the Forbidden Power aesthetic, I do think they're probably going to stay along that Egyptian aesthetic for this army. So I feel like they're going to take the Forbidden Power kind of Egyptian aesthetic and apply it to a Death Rattle force. And so that's what I think this is going to be. And I honestly think it'll be really, really cool. What are you thinking, Matt?
Yeah, I kind of have a similar idea with like the partial redoing of the line. My money would be on they're going to keep the monster models, so like the big sphinxes and stuff. I mean, basically everything else is old. The archers are old. The spearmen are old. Those goofy looking cav are old. I mean, the only new kits was the chariot. I think like the chariot kit and then the big sphinxes, right?
The Tomb Guard too, right?
I don't remember. That one's a maybe.
I think the Tomb Guard were new too. They seem pretty, pretty good.
But I mean, the bulk of it at least would have to be redone. So my money would be on either they keep the monsters and redo everything else, or, and I honestly don't think it's unlikely at all. I would probably lean more towards they redo the entire line, which would be kind of funny because it would kind of be a double-edged sword there of everyone wanting, they're mad because Tomb Kings get blown out of the world. And then, hey, we brought him back.
I mean,
but none of your models
real
exist.
Bretonians.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, but it's like, I honestly think it'll be an entirely new line. That's where my money is. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, with the Tomb King thing, a lot of people are taking examples from the Rumor Engine posts that were on the Warhammer community site. You know, and there were like four of them in particular. A lot of them were very obviously deathy. And for a long time, I myself was trying to take a look and try to assume what might be coming out because of them. And one of them was kind of a multi kind of skinned leather bound either skin or cloak or something like that. So up until, you know, basically this weekend, I thought that it was actually not going to be Setra, but Heinrich Kemmler, or maybe a combination of Heinrich and Setra, like they combined after end times into one person. So it'd be like a death rattly Egyptian, but not completely Egyptian kind of aesthetic. Now that we know that Mod Tribes is coming out, I think that like face cloak or whatever is probably a butcher's apron. Maybe a butcher will have like an apron that's just a bunch of like sewn together faces and skin. But I'm really excited to see like the Egyptian Babylonian kind of feel like Forbidden Power. I do hope that or with the model releases, I totally agree with you. I think it's going to be a whole new model line, with the exception of the constructs that Tomb Kings had. And I think that fits in line with kind of the Shadespire Warhammer Underworld kind of stories, because they talk about like that living glass, or that like necro glass, that like magic glass from Shaiish. And they talk about how like there can be like shade glass giants and stuff. So I'm sure that they'll just like copy paste a bit of that info and be like, this is a shade glass contract. Point out that, I'm super excited to see how things turn out with the new Tomb Kings. Taking a look, I actually have in my normal Legions and Nagash army, a lot of my skeletons are actually mainly Tomb King skeletons. And I gotta say, that's a super old sculpt. Tomb King archers, Tomb King spearmen, Tomb King, even there were two different versions of the Tomb Guard. And I don't think either of the sculpts were all that great, even if one might be a little bit more newer than the other. So I'm just excited to see whatever we come out with. John, what's up?
Oh, I don't know. I was just thinking to myself, somebody mentioned the old Bretonians while we were going along here. And I presume that there's going to be no Bretonians in the Cities of Sigmar. But what do you think the odds are that we do actually see them resurrected in some future form? Or are they going to truly be the squats of Age of Sigmar?
I think there's a very slim chance that they come. I mean, it's pretty common knowledge now that the reason that they were retconned, if you will, is because GW only wanted to produce trademarkable models, and you
I was unaware of that. Is that really what it came down to? And you can't trademark Arthurian knights, right?
Yeah. No, you can't.
Too generic.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been like officially stated, but I think that's the general consensus and kind of some things leaked out, which was also why, again, being like the Egyptian theme, the reason that Tomb Kings were dropped, along with being a really old line, which again is why I think it will be all new models, something that's Egyptian-ish still, but more, you know, new and unique to Age of Sigmar, like dead Egyptians.
I think the Bretonians are not like, well, they will be reborn at some point later. Because out of the rumor engine clips and photos we've seen, there was, I'm guessing it's related to a Maw Crusher or Maw Tribe model. There's a head hanging from somebody's basically trophy rack. And maybe it's just Games Workshop taking fun at Bretonian players. But it's clearly a Bretonian like king's head on top of Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. It's got like two king's heads.
Games Workshop
put together.
Laugh at Bretonian fans.
Yeah.
There it is. Or if not, they might just come out later as like a different, like basically faction, effectively.
See, I could see them getting the previous, the previous kind of fluff treatment, like Tomb Kings may have gotten as a little Easter egg until this potential battle tome with that whole Cetrus and the Imperishables Celestine thing. I just assume that you're never going to see Bretonians ever again, and you might get in a story somewhere down the line some flesh eater court that's just talking about the lady in the water and the sword and the stone and all that jazz. Matthew, what do you think?
Yeah, final point on that topic. My last point for my argument of an entire new line would be, we're going on, I don't know, three or four years now that Tomb Kings have been gone, I believe. I would assume, if not at least, I don't know if the molds exist still. I don't know if they got rid of them necessarily, but I'm sure they don't just have those molds sitting around inactive, ready to go for 4 years, because they stopped producing the line when they when they cut them from the book. So, I mean, I don't know if they got rid of the molds or destroyed them necessarily, but they're definitely not just like, you know, sitting ready to go.
Yeah, they would have degraded just unless they were stored, you know, amazingly careful, which they might do, because these are, I'm sure, very expensive, but there's going to be some degradation. You know, these are metal molds. Other than that, a mold or a die is a pretty universal type of a thing. So
yeah,
even if they more modernized their mold making equipment over the years, the older dies would be adaptable to the newer systems.
Exactly. I mean, I'm assuming here that new Tomb Kings is a result of community outcry for 4 years and that it wasn't planned all along. To, you know, destroy them and then bring them back 4 years later. So if I had to guess, I would say those molds are in a dark, dusty warehouse somewhere.
You know, and it's probably worth mentioning that just in the last couple years, mold making technology has really changed with the ability to do metal 3D printing and other additive technologies and hybrid additive technology where they build things up with metal and then partially machine or grind them back down. You can end up with some very high precision molds that have a cost that is but a fraction of what they cost even 10 years ago, let alone 20 years ago. So these molds are not cheap, but they're maybe, you know, half the cost of what they used to, yet have a higher performance and higher detail. And I can't imagine that there's anybody in the world who is more experienced at the molding of fine, high detail plastic at this point in time than probably Bandai and Games Workshop, right? Probably the two companies that know it the best.
Boom. Science, bitch.
And at it for everyone is our How Stuff Works podcast, hobby edition. So, yeah, I'm really excited about this. You know, there is one other thing that I did want to mention regarding some of the releases that did happen on Saturday. You know, I am not big on any Games Workshop specialist game. I'm excited about Warcry just for the models. I'm not really gonna play it. I've tried Shadespire with Jeremy at his house before. It's just not really my cup of tea. If I was like stuck in a basement for a week, yeah, I'll play it, but I'm not gonna like make an effort for it. But I noticed that they had some previews about the latest Warhammer Underworlds releases, and you know, Warhammer Underworlds releases, they usually correlate with you know, a war scroll with the models that are that come out for whatever warband. And it's, I don't know if anyone centaur, noticed, but there was a silhouette of like a centaur character.
A war dancer. It's a wood elf war dancer. It's a war dancer.
It's a unicorn. Oh. That would be amazing.
A wood elf war dancer on a...
The piece of photo you're referring to is on the
horse in a way unicorn where its entire upper body is...
Yeah.
So we got three hosts and three guests. We want to put money on this one?
I got five.
Oh, you know what? I'm looking at it right now. So, I'm seeing just a word answer. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to screw with that. That's definitely. Hey, I never actually made one. I never made no bet. But, hey, there is one other thing that we do want to talk about, though, with Saturday. Saturday's releases and announcements. You know, we already knew this was coming, but Jeremy certainly is excited. You know, there is our favorite ginger of the world that was. You know, there is a Gore-Tech.
Thank God somebody's
Grunlison. Go-Trek.
Go-Trek.
Go-Trek Gurnison.
Yep.
Go-Trek Gurnison. Come on, man. You love the Black Library like I do, Alex. You have to have read all the Slayer
Truth
novels.
Truth be told, I have not read a single Warhammer Fantasy.
Oh, still my heart.
Or Age of Sigmar.
He can't read.
Oh, man. I was consuming and gobbling those as they came out. Those are the best novels ever. You want to talk about some axe porn. They are the best.
Oh, until we have the Black Picture Book Library, he's going to be out of it.
Well, we're all really excited about that. You know, and you know, we're all excited about all the hype that's going on with Order right now, whether it be, you know, a brand new character from the world that was, or, you know, even, again, the new humans, the pew-pew humans, the Sigmar, the cities of Sigmar Battletome. Now, right before that happens, of course, we talked about at the start of this episode, the fact that Matthew has been hard at work painting, building, and getting a list put together. And we actually wanted to try to take a little bit of a closer look in a spotlight here today regarding the Free People's Army just before the Battle Tome comes out. Now, Matthew, can you give us a brief rundown about some of your basic allegiance abilities and what you think might work best for you this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, well, I'm playing Mixed Order, Alex, not Free People.
Oh, man, yeah, you're right. You have all those Caradons.
I do. But I mean, to be honest, Free People aren't in a terrible spot, like right now, even just as they sit. They're not the best army ever, but I mean, they're probably a 3-2 at a GT. Maybe you could play yourself into a 4-1. They already kind of lean heavily on shooting, specifically just because crossbowmen paired with the Free Guild General is ridiculous. 30 crossbowmen is 60 shots at threes and threes for 300 points. With a 20-inch range, they're just really, really good. They're really reliable. They're really steady. It's a lot of bodies. It's a lot of shots. They're just really good. Free Guild actually has kind of some cool allegiance abilities right now already. They have a lot of stuff that can really buff their defensiveness. They have multiple ways to like pulse a +1 to save aura. That are stackable. They have multiple +1 to hit auras that are stackable. It's kind of a cool list. I'm really excited for that new book to actually play a legitimate Free Guild army, not Mixed Order. I always feel like a little bit dirty bringing like a Grand Alliance army, because it's like the ultimate cheese factory, just cherry picking the best stuff from everything. But I mean, it's a tournament list, so it is what it is. But
yeah, or it could be the most thematic and fluffy list ever, where you're telling a story.
My theme is everything is ranged.
My theme is my guys wanted to win, so they brought the dudes that they thought would win, and so they just wanted to win together. That's my lore. Is that okay? They all wanted to win together.
If you could type that up and laminate it for me, so I can put it with my display board.
You'll win a best lore master like Chuck did at Rend 4 with his big old Ideneth lore. It's like, yeah, my dudes all wanted to win together. Best lore master.
I'm going to make sure I'm going to give you a bunch of Fire Slayer heads so you can stick them on your bases.
I don't know. I'm curious to see how that rolls out if we do play, because I have just a gross amount of shots, and you don't give a shit about them because you have a one plus rerollable everything save. 15 wounds apiece.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see that game too. On, so maybe you guys will get paired up. Maybe you won't. Oh,
by
who
the
knows?
Way, so you don't, you know, Matt, we're playing on
I'm
Friday.
I'm excited.
Cool. Deal. Sounds good.
<Wait. laughs> Oh, perfect.
I'm super excited to see you guys. I haven't actually got to play a game in a while.
Yeah, we're really excited too. It'll be a really great time. You know, with everything that's going to be going on here, there's going to be not just the Forge of Souls this upcoming weekend in Spokane, but there's also going to be T-Shift just the week afterwards. Matthew, you unfortunately are not going to go to T-Shift. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, I'm going to be at OFCC probably. Three tournaments back-to-back-to-back weekends was, like, grounds for divorce. So.
I understand that. I tried to pull that one off. It did not go well.
Yeah, especially with Nova being fairly soon afterwards. Yeah. Like, being out of town multiple weekends back-to-back-to-back is...
Yeah, I was able to pull off this weekend Summer Slaughter, and then 3 weeks later I got War Games Con in Austin, and then 2 weeks later I got Nova. So I was able to put weekends in between them, but I'm pretty sure come September, early September after Nova, I'm like banned from tournaments for a while.
Yeah. If any of the listeners, speaking of, if you want to like PM me a way to, do you lay out the schedule with the wife at the beginning of the year, or My general rule is like I wait till like 2.5 weeks before the event, and then be like, "Oh, we're doing this." By the way, I'm pretty sure I told you I'm gonna be gone, and like I just hopefully like confusion my way through.
Have you heard the term thin ice?
Yeah, I live on it.
There is another way to approach it. There's one where, you know, you bring your wife with you to the tournaments. She enjoys the community. She likes hanging out with the same people you do. I don't know. Just a thought that has worked well for me.
She does. I mean, she does want to come. We have 103 kids, so it's kind of hard to get away for a weekend.
No, I understand. But,
she is hopefully going to be a SoCal Open.
Oh, you know what would work out real well? We got Winter's War coming up in December. You could bring the wife, the kids, everybody down, hang out for a weekend, play some games. We got the cool downtown Winterfest in San Jose and all other kinds of Bay Area stuff. It'd be awesome.
That one would be neat because it would be kind of cool to get out of northern Idaho.
Yeah, and all things considered, I do have two spare rooms in my house, so we might even be able to do it without breaking your bank.
That would be perfect. Speaking of thin ice, like October to March is Idaho.
Oh, boy. Ba-dum-tsh.
Speaking of Winter War, I'm actually looking to go out to Winter War this winter, John. Just have to figure out everything with my brother and his graduation, which should be happening right around then as well. And
oh, awesome.
Yeah, so I'm doing everything I can to try to make it to Winter War this year.
Are we all going?
Yeah, I guess we're all
going.
That
would make it
we're
two Christmases for me.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that would be amazing.
So one of you can
in the garage for once.
Two Christmases. I love it.
Oh.
Okay, you know what?
Oh,
you can
here we
have
go.
It anytime.
No, what are you talking about, Jeremy? I want a rematch.
I want a rematch too.
Jeremy, I want to play you like once. Last time we played was GHB 2016, right as it was released, I think. Yeah.
Man, that was back in the day. I was like 15 years old.
Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. Well, yeah, it'll be really great. Winter Wars. John, how about you give us some more details about Winter Wars?
Winter War, December 21st, 2019. December 21st, 2019. Five rounds at the Game Castle in Mountain View. We're going to do the two list thing again. So other than that, it should be a lot of fun. Oh, and of course, if you follow Facebook at all, you see that the winner gets to take their picture with the great Winter War sword in the stone, which is always amazing. Gets their name on that, etc.
Awesome.
That would be
no. I don't think
yeah.
so. But I'm
Jeremy,
gonna make a go
think
for
you're
it.
Gonna win the Forge?
I'm hoping for second place, maybe second or third.
Alex?
I'm hoping you win it.
I just assumed you were gonna skip me on this one and I was gonna make a comment about how I was skipped. I'd like to win Winter Wars. I'm probably gonna end up if I do well, I'll probably end up second or third. I am a lot more confident in both of you guys, and I'm a little out of practice with Nighthaunt. I kind of was relying a little too heavily on, Legion of No Skill and just like recycling a unit of 30 Reapers, lickety split. Took a lot of skill to use that one CP and bring a unit back. And I previously, I feel as though I was very precise and kind of very surgical with my Nighthaunt, and I need to get back to that point. So I've been testing out a Legion of Grief army, but Jeremy has basically been, he kind of shook me metaphorically and gave me a come to Jesus speech on Friday. So I've been trying to get my stuff together. And
he gave me one of those at LVO, except he shook me literally and then gave me a come to Jesus speech.
Did he? Was he? Okay. Jeremy's very good.
Can I have one next, Jeremy? I want one, please.
Hey, Matt, as just a reminder, move the Geminids, okay? Move the Geminids.
Oh, cold. Yeah. So cold.
I have a caster in my army this time, so I had to read what spell it is.
What is
my God.
Spell thing?
You know you can dispel too, right? 30 inches?
I do not.
Perfect.
I can't wait till he
knows
one die spell and he picks up only one dice to cast it. Can't wait for that.
He's like,
I know, I'm going to go. Okay, so this is my magic phase. Let me roll my Winds of Magic dice real quick.
I just love to see Matthew like say all the wrong terminologies too. Like, this is my spark phase. I'm gonna do this. Roll like he rolls like a D8.
To be fair, I do that anyways.
Okay, right on.
Yeah. It's kind of fumble my way through like the terminology of games.
Oh yeah.
For the record, the spark phase is usually after the tournament if you want to do well.
Makes sense.
Pro tip. Yeah.
Now, Garrett, are there any events in your area that you would like to promote or plug?
Well, I do want to mention again, this summer is the Basement Wargamer Summer Slaughter up in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. That'll be this weekend. Really excited for that. Then I think everyone's kind of preparing for Nova in this area. So there's kind of the gap out here in the Northern Virginia area between this weekend and Nova. But I will be going to WarGamesCon August 17th in Austin, Texas, which should be a blast. The roster is up. List deadline is August 1st for WarGamesCon. So get your tickets, get your lists up in, and it'll be a blast.
Yeah, our good friend Michael Schwartz from the 40K podcast and Willow are going to be there. So I wish I could go, can't go, but looks like it's going to be a blast. James will be there as well. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, I did not know that. Our good friend James O'Brien. Now, I do, you know, there is going to be an event also in the Pacific Northwest. I also am not going to be able to make it, but, you know, Jeremy and Matthew, I do believe you guys are going. The Ordo Fanaticus Contest of Champions. Yeah. You guys are both going, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, right on. Well, you know, for all of our listeners out there, do go. It is going to be in Vancouver, Washington, about the third weekend of August. So, yeah, be sure to get your tickets lickety-split. Yeah. Are there any final thoughts anyone has about this weekend's new releases?
No, nothing in particular. I tell you what, though, looking at that Warcry stuff, I myself am really, though I'm not interested in Warcry per se, some of that terrain is pretty amazing. I was looking at that city with all the wood and stuff on top of it. I see a cool new Skaven display board in my future incorporating a whole bunch of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, the additional terrain to the shattered storm vault terrain looks like you can make like a full table, like Realm of Battle style with like that. So that looks cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just excited for new books. I know some people, it's kind of funny, like 4 years ago, people complained that we never got anything. And then for the last year, people are complaining because books are coming too quickly. But
yeah,
I mean, whether it's too quickly or just the right speed, I hope we don't get to a point where all the books are done, because then the meta stagnates pretty quick. So new releases are always good for me because it keeps everything changing and fresh, so you don't get
things. So far, Matt has dodged the entire Slash release, so that's why he's making such a comment.
They don't like the cold up here. They don't wear a lot of clothes, so like that makes sense.
You know, they just haven't tried it yet. You know, I'm pretty sure they would love to go up there, get all cold and snuggle.
Oh, yeah, snuggle. I think that's a perfect way to put it, and that's a perfect place for us to end here tonight. For our listeners out there, again, as normal, do feel free to rate us and review us on Facebook and Apple Podcasts or wherever you personally get your podcasts. You know, do be sure to check out all the upcoming events that we have reviewed today or talked about today. And you know, if you have any questions, do give us a shout out on Facebook. For the time being, this is Alex, Garrett, Jeremy, John, and Matt signing out.
Yeah, I don't think I have a follow-up for that. Good night.
Snuggle on, folks.
Yeah, I'm good.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.